Here's a dance you should know. When the lights are down low, grab your baby then go. I do the huckabuck, I do the huckabuck. If you don't know how to do it, boy, you're out of luck. Push your baby out, then you hunch your back. Start a little movement in your sacroiliac. Wiggle like a snake, waddle like a duck. That's the way you do it when you do the hucklebuck.
Hey, not now. Bet and Steny will tell you when. Hey, girls, start talking.
Hello.
Hello, people of Earth.
People of Earth.
Huckabug Nation.
Welcome to the Hucklebug, everybody. I am Steny.
And I'm Bet.
We're Bet and Steny. Bet's a little horse.
I'm a pony. I'm a little horse.
She's a foal. This episode was 698 of the Huckabug.
Oh, yes, it is.
The big milestone 700.
Oh.
The 700 Club. Hey, the 700 Club was a thing, wasn't it? Wasn't that...
that ain't going to be us when that's that happens.
We're going to have all kinds of religious crap happen.
I was going to say, I'll be sure to wear extra eyeliner. So that will work.
Oh, my. Where do we begin? Shout outs. There's no rips, right?
No rips.
Yay. Got through the week without a rip.
Yay.
All right. Well, we'll do shout outs here on Facebook page under the episode. So we begin with Kelly.
Kelly with an IE.
We didn't talk about who was doing what.
We didn't, but, well, you go first, because Tina has both of us, of course.
Yeah, she does.
You start.
Kelly says, I haven't finished this week yet. I need a new Hucklebug listening schedule. Happy June. Ooh. Well, happy June to you, too. Yeah, you know, and it was weird, because it was a holiday week, and things are different, right?
So, oh, yeah.
No worries, Kelly with an IE. You'll catch up. You've got time to finish it. This episode's not going up until Sunday night, so you got lots of time. Our next shout out is for Tina Stan in the place where you live.
Now leave us a comment. And just say both. Bet you made your appointment with Dr. X. Actually, it's Dr. J, but that's okay.
That's true. He's heavier with a J.
Well done. Sorry to hear about poor Milo. Yeah. Then you.
Yeah, Steny, great. Your mom's been accepted at the memory care facility. Yep, we've got, seems like we've got a little bit of red tape to navigate through before we can get her in there, but it's underway. So hopefully we'll have some final chapter to that story soon, hopefully. And then you. Oh, no, that's me too, isn't it? My daughter Chloe loves the film Yesterday.
Yeah.
Been telling me to watch it for a long time. I really enjoyed it. I think it is good. The love story, like I said, I thought seemed forced. That it seemed like the type of thing that the guy had a great script and the producer said, yeah, but where's the girl? You gotta have a girl in it. And then they added the love story. That's how it felt to me. It felt tacked on.
And there are some of us, you and me, you and I, who just assume there not be a love interest.
It doesn't have to be a love interest in every fucking story. It's fine for there to be no love interest. Yeah, some of us don't care for love stories.
Yeah. Some of us hate love, by the way.
Yeah, fuck love. That's going to be the title of the episode right there. It's nice to get the episode title in early and like to know what it's going to be. I'm just writing it down right now. Fuck love. Okay. Tina also loved Downton Abbey. Well, how can you not? Downton Abbey is lovely.
And she's off to Budapest. Mm. Tina, you traveler. You go all over the place, man.
That's awesome. Are you going to be on the Buddha side or on the Pest side? Isn't it divided by a river? One side is Buddha and the other side is Pest? Am I wrong? Somebody tell me if I made that up in my brain. I might have made that up in my brain, but that was what I thought. On one side of the river is Buddha and the other side is Pest, but I might be wrong. Oh, she's never been before. She says, watch this space.
Ooh.
And then she tells us about they have a bank holiday this weekend also. Memorial Day. They were also off for Memorial Day.
Whitsun Monday. The banking and financial dealings. Oh, if only we could have a holiday off for something that mundane.
I know. Imagine if we had a holiday for every time we made like an amendment to the Constitution or something like that. Christ, we would never work. But that's nice. I'm glad you got a day off.
Hey, any day off's a good day off.
Exactly. It doesn't matter what it's for. We don't care what they're for anyway, do we? And then if we scroll up to the missive, we have two more shout outs.
Yes.
Now, who do you have on top?
Well, I have Kelly with Y, and I'll take that.
Kelly with Y!
How many times can they delay the Starliner launch?
Mm.
That's still a test mission, so got to work out the kinks. You know you got to work out those kinks.
That's what the test mission is for, man.
We don't want bad stuff happening. Happy hucklebugging.
Thank you. Have you ever seen Starliner in the sky, Beth?
I have not.
It's pretty fucking cool. It looks like it looks like Santa Claus's sleigh, actually. It's a long track of lights, and it's like 10 or 8 lights, something like that. And it does. They just go through the sky, and it does look like it looks like a sleigh.
And every once in a while, a few toys fall out of it and come down to the ground.
Like a little star train or something like that. It's called Starlink, but it looks more like a star train. It's pretty cool. Our final shout out this week is for Siskiyo.
We need you so.
Glad we ended on this one.
Why I said you should take that
smart thinking. She says, before I forget, been listening only from the left channel. Can you export for both channels for us earbud users? I'm so sorry. Yes, I can. I believe there is a final step I'm supposed to make when editing that I have been forgetting. Because we took such a long time off from the show, and then when I sat down to edit again, I didn't remember how to do it. There's like a final closing step I'm supposed to do, and I've not been doing it. So I'm going to have to try and remember how to do it. But yes, episode 698. Hopefully you are all right now listening to us in glorious monotone with our tracks blended upon each other so that everybody with earbuds is hearing us in both ears again. Apologies for that.
Did you see Saskia's Facebook post?
Which one?
About looking for suggestions. She's going to audition.
I did.
Song.
I did.
Patsy Cline or Bonnie Raitt suggestions.
I did see that. And she didn't want anything obvious, so I didn't answer because the only songs I know are obvious. The only ones I could think of were obvious ones. I did want to ask if it could be somebody other than Patsy Cline or Bonnie Raitt. Like Loretta Lynn.
Oh, yeah.
Or Emmylou Harris.
Oh, Taylor and Allison got to see Emmylou last week.
Ooh, very exciting.
She was fantastic.
I bet she was. Well, fantastic. Congratulations to them. Saskita, I hope you come up with an awesome, wonderful song. The only ones I could think of were like Something to Talk About and, you know, Walking After Midnight. So
I thought of Walking After Midnight, but my Patsy Cline song is He's Got You.
He's Got You is beautiful.
Beautifully covered by Elvis Costello, by the way. And as I was reading down the scroll, somebody actually suggested He's Got You. So
He's Got You is good. Of course, Walking After Midnight, crazy, obviously. I mean, like, everything Patsy Cline did was great. Mm. All right. Well, gang, we've finished your shout outs. Thank you all for leaving comments and shouting out to us.
Keep them coming.
We now are going to get into, we didn't watch any movies, but we got tons of binge watches. So we're going to talk about our binge watches, and Bet goes first.
Yeah, well, we decided bilaterally that this is a binge watch. I knew it wasn't a movie, but I wasn't sure it was a binge watch because it's only two parts.
That's all right.
It's on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
And I kind of didn't know this existed. I was just reading down the scroll. I hate Prime's new layout.
Oh, I haven't seen it. Okay. Oh, I'm gonna check that out.
When you roll your cursor over something, it expands the picture, and I hate it. But anyway, there was a thing called In Restless Dreams, which is a two-part documentary about Paul Simon.
That already sounds good. I'm already on board.
Yeah. Well, you know, Paul Simon he's kind of weird for me.
Well, he is weird.
because love Simon and Garfunkel, and I love a lot of what Paul did afterwards. I mean, Paul, songwriting, fantastic.
Yeah.
I always thought he was a little goofy and maybe arrogant.
Very arrogant.
And not very nice. And I remember the 70s when he was all the rage, and he was in Woody Allen movies and, mm-hmm. you know, stuff like that.
Was he all the rage in this funky bar and he stepped outside to smoke himself a J?
A J, yes. Exactly. And he made that movie that totally tanked.
One Trick Pony, yeah.
And then there's the whole him and Art thing. And yep. I didn't know who to blame for them breaking up.
But I assume it's Paul.
the thing of it is, it's just really interesting because it comes from two places. It's, like I said, two parts, each is 2 hours long. So you're talking 4 hours if you're right. But it starts with him on a ranch in Texas where he lives with Edie Brickell, his wife, because she loves Texas. And it's him recording his new album, which I think is called In Restless Dreams. And I had no idea that, because, you know, my brother-in-law, Brian, is suffering from this at the moment. He had in one ear what they call sudden hearing loss.
Ooh, woke no, up I didn't know that either.
Had no hearing in one ear.
Wow.
And he's trying to cope with that. And he's written these songs that...
Man, that's rough, especially for a musician. I mean, it's a rough for anybody, but imagine for a musician especially.
But the lyrics are just unbelievable. So he's walking around his studio. And his studio is just chock-a-block full with little knickknacks that you can make music with, you know, little bells and cymbals and whistles. And so he's walking around and he's playing them all and trying to figure them out into his songs. That's one thing. But then, of course, it goes into the history of the very, very, very beginning when Paul and Art first met before they ever knew that they could be singers and famous and stuff.
Right.
And how they just clicked and were so close. And then they went to the Brill Building or whatever the equivalent of that was. They were Tom and Jerry at that point.
That's right. That's right. They were Tom and Jerry. That's right. I forgot that.
And then how they started, well, how he started writing songs and then the harmonies and how Art worked at the harmonies. And I do have to say, Art is a voiceover in this, giving commentary. Oh, okay. So apparently they still, you know, that
he agreed to do that much.
Right. If they hate
I'll call in, but I'm not going to be on camera.
Right. And so it goes into that. And it's just, there are so many great clips and all of the great songs. And it's just, that part is wonderful. Then it'll go back to him, you know, trying to record music. And then they'll show something else he's written. And on the screen will come the lyrics to that song. And they're just, how somebody can think of a story that starts with these lyrics is unbelievable. At some point in the current times, Wynton Marsalis comes to visit him. Apparently, they're great friends.
Yeah, for some reason, I feel like I knew that already. I don't know why. Maybe they did an album together. I don't know.
And the breakup of Simon and Garfunkel ends the first section.
Okay.
They're called verses, verse one and verse two.
Smart.
So when verse two opens up, it's Paul on his own.
Hello, Paul.
And it goes into his love of international music, you know, South African music, Latvian music.
Yep.
I mean, this guy really knows his stuff.
Yes, he does.
And it's just, I loved it. I totally loved it. If you ever liked a song by Simon and Garfunkel, watch this because it goes so many places. And by the way, for the thing, I think they're both at fault.
Yeah, okay. That seems reasonable.
Art was a little peeved that Paul at one point told an interviewer, I write all the songs. I write them all myself. I give them to him. He sings them with me. You know, it's true. He did.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it is true. It is true.
But then again, a producer once told Art, well, let Paul go off and write his songs. And why don't you just go off and make a movie, be an actor? And so Art really got off on that. And he was, well, you send me some songs, but I'm making a movie right now. I can't, you know.
I'm busy making Catch 22 with well-known actor Alan Arkin.
Oh, they show Catch 22. So, you know, they became chalk and cheese. They just, you know, it's great. I just cannot recommend it enough. In Restless Dreams.
In Restless Dreams. All right. Well, I'm going to check that out. Amazon Prime.
Don't have to pay.
All right. If you have a Prime account.
If you have a Prime account.
Which I do right now, but.
Yes.
I only have it for about another month, so I should get as much enjoyment out of it as I can.
And also, if I can throw one, I'll tell you the whole story later. Okay. But there is the sweetest story when they talk to Edie Bacale of how she met Paul and how they kind of fell in love and got married.
I'm looking forward to that part too, because that's one of those facts that I always forget.
Very unlikely.
But it is unlikely, and that's why I always forget. I always forget that they are married.
It'll just make you quail with happiness.
Aw. Okay, you can good. I'm looking forward to that.
Marla.
I'm looking forward to that. I have two binge watches.
Ooh.
This week.
You were busy.
I watched a lot. Well, I was actually the opposite of busy, which is why I watched a lot of television.
Well, you were busy watching TV as well.
Busy watching TV. So my first binge watch is Baby Reindeer. And I was right in that I was right not to watch it last week, because remember I said you know I was feeling a little bit fragile emotionally and I didn't want to see anything dark. Well, it's super fucking dark.
Pretty dark.
But it is extraordinarily compelling, and I'm going to give it a big thumbs up.
Okay.
And it's I thought also very brave, because it talks about themes that don't get talked about.
Yes.
It's compelling, and you can't look away, but it's also really, really hard to watch. It's that I don't know how you managed to sit down and watch the entire thing in one go. I couldn't manage it. I had to break it up over a couple of nights.
I've got my dark sides.
I guess I do too, but sometimes I'm just like, I gotta have a break. It's too much. You know, like I got to the end of one episode and I was like, all right, that's enough for tonight for sure. Because I'm going to have bad dreams if I watch another one
that's
now.
How I watched it. I watched the first one on a Thursday and got all the rest of them on Saturday.
Right. Well, and maybe watching in the daytime's a little easier too. What I found was that as it started getting dark outside, I'm like, all right,
I need
to put something else on. It's really good. We should, I think, warn people though, and there's a content warning will come up on the screen, but there are some really, really difficult things in the movie, and there's sexual assault, and there's a lot of other things. I did find myself most of the time screaming at the guy, get therapy, my dude. Please go see a therapist. Please go see a therapist. You know, or call, you know, and the other thing was that he obviously had a lot of empathy for Martha. And I thought, why not call the police now and say, can you please do a welfare check? This woman has been sitting in the bus stop for about 48 hours. Could you have someone come check on her, please? That would have been the right thing to do. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So really, really good, but also really, really hard to watch, which is why I have a second binge watch. Because what I would do is watch two episodes of Baby Reindeer.
The happiest binge watch in the world.
And then to cleanse my palate before bedtime, I would watch a couple of episodes of the US version of Ghosts.
So
I could do my comparison. Now,
where is that?
It's also on Paramount Plus.
Oh, okay.
Or it's on CBS. Actually,
I could probably just queue it up there.
I'm pretty sure that like the first two seasons are on Hulu.
Oh, okay.
Like regular Hulu, not Hulu Live, but regular Hulu. I think you can watch the first two seasons of it there. So you should be able to watch that.
So what did you think?
Well, I will say up front that I like the UK version better. But I think the US version is pretty good. It just is. This is going to sound so. I think you guys will know what I mean, but this is going to sound like really elitist and shitty, but it is just, it's really dumbed down. It's just like, you know, American TV feels like it has to be for the lowest possible common denominator. Yeah. So let's like really make it so that all the really stupid people can figure out what's going on, which makes it, you know, for a, you know, an average intelligence viewer, you're kind of going, all right, yeah, I get it.
I can remember when, you know, the British show One Foot in the Grave, featuring the most horrible, irascible lead character ever.
Yeah.
That was hilarious. They right. brought it to America with Bill Cosby as him.
Right.
As one for, and it just sucked because they couldn't make him horrible. They had to make him funny.
Yeah, he's like
yeah. likable.
Yeah. The other thing is in the American version, almost all of the ghosts are from the 20th century, which I felt was a cheat and a cop out. So they've got.
Isn't there a Boy Scout?
Yeah, there's a Scoutmaster with an arrow through his neck. So that okay. that character is lifted.
One episode, I remember there being like a guy with a sash and
yeah, short. That's yeah, that's him. So and that character is lifted directly from the UK.
Oh, okay.
And those are the only two who are exactly the same. So there's the only difference is in the UK his name is Pat and in the US his name's Pete. So that's the only difference. Okay. They died the same way, shot through the neck while they, you know, had, you know, their scout troop out and were doing like an archery demonstration. And in fact, in the UK version, there's the third episode of the show is about Pat's death day. And that episode was the first episode that I realized the show could be moving as well as funny. It was funny. It was the first two episodes were just funny, 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 funny. But the third episode, it was funny, 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 funny until the last scene. And the last scene was really surprisingly touching. And it kind of just came out of nowhere. And I was like, oh. And it started with just, aw. And then it went to, oh, wow. You know, so I was like, oh, this show can be emotional as well as funny. I didn't realize that. So the American version, again, because it's American, everything's a little bit heavy-handed. And then they made some big changes to the way they told the story of Pete's death in the U.S. version. Choices that I thought were just weaker choices.
Okay.
But then we got to that last scene, and again, even though it was cookie-cutter and manipulated, it was still very moving. And I still went, oh man, they got me again. I knew what was going to happen. And it still got me. So I would say the US version is not, it's not as good as the UK version, but it's not a bad substitute if you can't okay. watch the UK version. So maybe check it out and see what you think.
Okay.
And that was fun. I do feel the other thing about the US version is that it's all very, it feels like they went down to central casting and just went, all right, great. Give me the Native American guy. Give me the Viking guy. Give me that the black soul singer lady. Everything feels very, just like I said, like templates, like cookie cutters. I feel like yeah. all that's missing is like an Eskimo
and
with a harpoon.
Kate Mulgrew has a big burn and long dress.
Kate Mulgrew's not in it. That's not her. That's a different actress.
Oh, I thought that was Kate Mulgrew.
Nope. That is not her. And that was what I wondered.
Now,
I was like,
considered me school. I sure as hell thought that was Kate Mulgrew.
Nope.
I thought that was kind of the hook to get you into Watch Ghosts.
No, as it turns, I like my afterlife stories.
That own the house, are they anybody?
They're not anybody I know. Okay. I don't know. You know what? The dude is familiar. I think I've seen the guy in something, but I can't remember what. And I'm not going to go look it up on IMDb because we'll be here all day. I'm so sorry. I took an hour to talk about that. What else are we going to do?
Well, I have... The first part one, folks, I did promise you this, or maybe That's I right. warned you about this
promise,
last
promise.
Week. I do have part one of the Bette story.
That's right.
Because on Wednesday, it happened. Which
we went
was
to see Dr. J.
My going out to see Dr. J, Dr. Now non-smoking Dr. Javier. And, I've been afraid of this for so long.
Right.
And I knew that going to his office was going to be the hardest part for me.
Right.
And that's why Todd had me, my therapist, had me visualizing walking into his office with my cane. It's not handicap accessible. I have to go up steps to get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I thought, okay, I can do this. I can do this.
Yeah.
Got out. Got right in, walked right up those steps, went right into the office, got called in, and there I was in the office waiting for the man himself. But of course the nurse comes in first, and it's a different nurse than, of course, after a year, who, you know, things change. It's a different nurse, but she was very nice. And so she asked me all of the preliminary questions of, hey, do you do this? Have you do this? Do you smoke? Do you drink? You know, and as I would, you know, I've known Dr. Javier for so long. He walks barefoot through my mind. I keep nothing from him. So I just laid it out on the table. But first of all, before going in, had to be weighed. I was sure I had gained at least 40 pounds since the last time I was there a year ago. My weight was lower than it was the last. Because I write, it was 2 pounds, but I hadn't gained still, a bunch of weight.
That's great. That's fantastic.
So good, that alone blew my mind.
All right.
So I went in and answered all those questions, and she said, okay, let's get your blood pressure. And I thought, oh God, here it comes, because I was sure, I think I said this before, I'm going to be put on blood pressure medicine, which is okay. You do what you do. So she took my blood pressure.
Even Lincoln takes blood pressure medication.
It was 127 over 82, which is lower than it ever is. When I told that to my sister, she got so mad. I would kill for that. So I'm just thinking.
Well, that's why yours is so high. You shouldn't be killing for anything.
And I was just gobsmacked and just sitting there. And then she left, and in comes the man himself. And, you know, it's been a year, and none of us are getting any younger. Dr. Javier, he told me during this visit, he's now 82.
Wow.
But in the past year, he's really aged. His gray tinged black hair is now completely gray. And this is the guy who is like 5'2 and 140 pounds.
Yeah.
He now looks like he's maybe 110 pounds. He's so skinny. But he comes in, he reads all the things, and he didn't kick my ass. He was really, really sweet. He did admonish me about not having an eye appointment, which I know that's got to be my next thing.
Next thing.
The mammogram, the OBGYN. And I told him about all of my driving problems, and you know, I have to go to Roanoke for that. Colonoscopy. But he didn't say, if you don't do this by the next time, you're out. So he wrote my prescription for the Lipitor. And then he sent me out to get blood tests, which I knew was coming, to the lab. But he also wanted me to have a chest x-ray and a knee x-ray. Because I did tell him all about my knees and the problems I had.
Off.
Did our bell ring at the same time you have a cuckoo clock?
Yeah, I have a cuckoo clock. Because I got the new phone, and I used to have a beep, 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 and now it goes cuckoo. All right.
Okay, but
we got lots more show. Don't worry, everybody. There's plenty left.
Oh, there's a lot left. So he gave me my orders and said, you know, if you've been fasting, which I had, go to the hospital, get all that done. And then came the part that I thought was going to be the easy part of the morning, because I knew this was going to be my first public foray with my walker. Which is damn hard to load into the car, but I did.
Good for you.
So I got my walker out, walked into the hospital, zipped in. I mean, people, if I have to go to a party where George Clooney and Brad Pitt and Elvis Costello and the Pope are, I am never going to be embarrassed to be on a walker. That is the easiest. I mean, I was just zipping in and out.
It's way easier than a cane, isn't it?
Really? I couldn't have done it with a cane. It was so easy. So I go to the labs first. And they take like 6 vials full of blood.
They take about 50 pints of your blood.
And they want a urine test, which... When the doctor says don't eat or drink anything for 12 hours.
How are you supposed to pee?
How are you supposed to pee in a cup? But I did. Okay, so that was done. Came back out. Then they came and they took me to x-rays. The chest x-ray was tough because they put you in all of these. It's almost like a mammogram. They put you in all these positions. Put your arm up here. Hold on to this. Right. Move your knees forward. Hunch your back.
Right.
Start a little movement in your side. Really? Okay. But we got that done.
Good.
And then, you know, 15 years ago, I had a knee x-ray. And it was at an orthopedist office. But all I did was just stand there. They took pictures of my knee.
Yeah.
Well, for this one, I was instructed to get on the table.
Ah.
Now, the table is not like Dr. Ask Massage's table, where you just lift your toes and you're up on it.
Right.
This one is so high, there's a step that you have to get.
Mm.
I thought I would die.
Yes.
And there were two girls there, and they were, oh my God, they were so nice. And they were holding my hand, and they said, hold here. Now put your foot up. Now you can do this. And I would start to get up, but the little step, both feet wouldn't fit on the step.
Mm.
And so I'd come down off the step, and, you know, at some point, I'm me. And I would say, I can't do this. I can't do this.
Poor baby.
Well, you know, when they have orders for an x-ray, they're going to make sure they get one.
Yeah. Yeah, she had to go home and get on the table.
And so they finally got me to the point where I got up on the table, and they had me putting my legs here and there, in and out, but I got them done.
Good.
Then it was time to get off the table.
Oh, boy.
And I thought, oh, I can't do this. I'm here forever. Oh, getting down was a dawdle. It was so easy.
I just put one foot down
and waited for the step, and I was okay.
Excellent. Good job.
But it was so hard, and it made me have a whole new level of pain afterwards.
Oh, dear.
Which I'm still shaking off, but I'm getting there.
Good job.
I don't know any results yet. I called yesterday to get my test results, and Dr. Javier was closed.
Oh.
So I guess I won't know till next week, but at least
a pisser.
I went, I saw him, I got my meds. You didn't have to have an MRI. I did not. I did what I was supposed to do.
Yay!
And as I told my sister, I know when I say this, it makes me even more pathetic than you think.
You're not pathetic.
I'm just so proud that I did everything I did.
Yes. Dude, Todd is going to be so stoked.
Oh, I've already talked to him.
Have you already told him?
Good. Over the moon.
Yay. Good job.
Guess what? I just told you both. The hospital was Bet Story Part 2.
Oh.
I just told you parts one and two.
That was part two. That's so funny. I was sitting here going, I wonder what part two is going to be.
Yeah. So you take yours now.
All right. Well, then I'll do my two in a row. Then I'll do Ask Reddit, and then we'll do the advice column. All right. Now I have an Ask Reddit thread of the week, which I think you're going to like. I saw this and I was kind of just sort of idly scrolling through it. And then I went, you know what? This might not be a bad question for the Hucklebug. The question is, what's your favorite song in a language you don't speak? I thought, what a great question for Ask Reddit. Now, bear in mind, a lot of the answers that are here on Ask Reddit are songs that you and I don't know, because these are kids. These are kids on Reddit. I'm by far the oldest person on Reddit. No, I'm not. Yeah. There's people older than me. What can you think of? Can you think of one off the top of your head?
I can think of one for me, but you know, only a couple of days ago, on the frickin' Today Show, on the plaza, they had some girl from Brazil who was singing in Brazilian or Spanish or whatever. Yeah. And people were just singing along and dancing.
Yeah.
And I thought, they have no idea.
How do they know? It's crazy.
But yeah, I have mine, which of course is the new wave song, Sa Plan Por Moi.
I actually figured yours was going to be Sa Plan Por Moi.
I mean, how can you not?
Somebody did actually say that in the credits here, too. And they only got 3 upvotes, so not a lot of people.
There may be others, but that comes to mind immediately.
There's a commercial out right now that's using that song. I can't remember what it's for. So there's a lot of answers in here that are songs that I do not know. Except there's La Vie en Rose, which is good. That's a pretty
nice one.
La Vie en Rose is a good one.
Used at Taylor and Allison's wedding. That's what she walked down the aisle to.
You can't go wrong with that song. It's beautiful. I think my favorite song in a language, I don't know. I speak a little French, and in fact, I speak enough French to know what pretty much all of this song means, but Les Champs-Élysées by Joe Dassin is one that I really like. And another one is Perfidia, performed by Nat King Cole, which I think is Spanish, but it might be Portuguese even. I'm not positive. But there's also, somebody mentioned this, Bésame mucho. That's a good one too. Nobody said La Bamba, which surprised me. But several people said 99 Luft Balloons.
Oh, okay.
That's one a lot of us know. Who's there's a lot of people talking about Rammstein in this in the comments here. I'm not Rammstein? A fan. Yeah, they sing. They're a German metal band, and the only song I know by them is Du Hast, which I think means you hate.
Okay.
Du Hast. We'll ask Dishy if she knows. Gangnam Style, somebody said. Nobody said Macarena, which surprised me. There's Based on My Mucho. So, listeners, somebody said Der Kommissar by Falco. That's a good one.
Oh, yeah.
Listeners, what is your favorite song in a language that you don't speak? Oh, I also thought of, there's a band I really like called Movitz, which is a Swedish band, and their music is sort of swing and hip-hop, and it's really good. I saw them on the Colbert Report like 15 years ago. I think they're great, but I have no idea what they're singing about because it's all in Swedish. And I can't even sing along, but it's just fun. So listeners, what is your favorite song in a language that you don't speak? And then, since Beth's already done part one and two of her story, I will move on to my next thing, which is an advice column.
Yay!
We haven't done advice columns for a bit.
Let's put on our advice hats.
This is from Slate, but it's not Dear Prudence. This is from their Care and Feeding.
Oh, about kids.
Article, yeah, which is all parenting advice. Dear Karen Feeding, I loved being a mom and have always looked forward to being a grandmother. For years, I've told my kids, who are now in their 30s, that I can't wait, and once they have kids, I'd be happy to help with childcare. My son and his wife had a son 4 months ago and asked me to do bridge care between her maternity leave and her summer vacation. She's a teacher. But she's incredibly particular about her son's care. And as a first-time mom, she's way too anxious about the small stuff. She's too hard to work with. And my own daughter and son also sided with her about all kinds of parenting decisions. And my daughter doesn't even have kids. Now that summer vacation is here, I put a blanket ban on all grandma child care. My daughter, who just announced her pregnancy, is furious. My son is mad because he and his wife apparently had been planning for once weekly daycare with me without even having asked. How do I get everyone to calm down? And it's signed Grandma, not Personalized Nanny. Before we read Karen Feeding's response, what are your thoughts, Bet?
Well, oh man, it kind of brings something to mind. Because when the dear nephew was born, of course, both of my mom and Brian's mom,
right,
of course, helped a lot.
Yes.
And they kind of, you know, they knew the old school way. Pat had read all the books.
Right.
But there was never any animosity. But I'm sure while Pat was away from the house, I'm sure each of them did the old school things.
Yeah, every once in a while. I'm sure they did.
We just don't have to tell her about
it. Yeah, let's not tell her. I gave her a little bourbon, but it did help her sleep. She slept great.
Exactly. Teething. Put the bourbon right on the gums. As you do.
Right.
But I think, you know, it's your kid. So, you know, you have the right to say, Mom, I don't want this.
Yeah.
And she seems to be a little shirty about it all.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I kept thinking to myself as I read her question, didn't you have a mom when you were raising your kids, a mom and a mother-in-law? And didn't you kind of go, hey, fuck off, this is my kid, I'm going to raise him how I want to raise him?
Right.
And that's exactly what Karen Feeding comes back with also.
Well, and where was the conversation you know, I don't want you to do this. Well, here's why I feel like this should be, you know, why can't you just have a dialogue?
You could have a dialogue, but you could also
put of it. She, mom has the choice.
Mom yes, exactly. Choice. Mom is the boss. Mom right. is the boss, not grandma. Mom is the boss. So, you know, you gotta follow the mom's wishes. But yeah, I mean, you know, like you, Bet, I'm, you know, this is a, we're talking about a 4 month old infant.
Yeah,
I'm sure they're not giving him ice cream.
There are things I think, you know, new moms probably have a whole lot of stuff rolling around in their heads. There right. are certain things like, you know, they don't want grandma to lean over the cradle and smoke in front of the kid.
But, right.
you know, just little tiny things like, you know, how you put the diapers on or whatever, right. how you wipe them, whatever.
Yeah.
That maybe mom is a little too strict on, but in the end, she's mom.
Yeah, she's mom. Mom is mom. And you know, that's the sad thing about this question is we don't have any details about what specifically right. she's particular about.
All grandma right? can do is roll her eyes and say, okay.
So here's Karen Feeding's response. Dear grandma, a student of mine in a long ago undergraduate creative writing workshop used to say, this is a WW moment. Her own coinage, which I never forgot, made liberal use of myself in the years following. WW stands for wait, what? And it's invoked whenever a character in a story says or does something that contradicts what's been established by the writer. That's what I thought when I read your question. Wait, what? You told your kids for years that they could count on you for childcare, that you were so looking forward to grandparenthood. You couldn't wait. And now that the grandchildren have started appearing, you've announced that you have no intention on following through. And you're so self-righteous about it.
Oh,
your daughter-in-law is too particular about her baby's care. Your own kids take her side in parenting decisions. How dare they when you're the one who knows things? Listen, Grandma, I don't know why you imagined that the grandbabies you dreamed about would be yours to care for as you wished, and that you would get to overrule their parents if you disagreed with them, but grandmothering isn't mothering. You absolutely have the right to refuse to help out with your grandchildren, current or future. You have the right to renege on a promise which you should never have made. But you don't get to demand that your children calm down. If you're interested in repairing your relationships with them after this debacle, consider being honest with them. Tell them that you should not have promised to help with childcare. Tell them you had no idea what it might actually entail. And if you search your soul and discover that somewhere deep inside, you know that it's the children's parents who are in charge of how they're cared for, and you can live with that, you might offer to try again. If not, your role in your grandchildren's lives will be that of the loving visitor. There's no shame in that, but you won't even have that if you don't own up to your mistake.
There's genius in that about when you said you'd help, that doesn't mean you have the power.
Right. Yeah. Offering to help doesn't mean offering to be the mom.
Exactly.
You don't get to be the mom. You've already done the mom thing. She doesn't know how to be a great, you know what? When new parents don't know how to be parents because they've never been parents before. But I think also new grandparents don't know how to be grandparents because they've only right. ever been parents.
Parents,
so
exactly.
It's fair enough that you maybe misinterpreted what your role is here, but you also did. Now your daughter-in-law is learning how to be a mom. You need to learn how to be a grandma. And yeah. being a grandma means following mom's orders.
Right.
So you're there you go first. On that. No. Not
you're
at
in
all.
The background.
Yep, yep. You're the babysitter. You're the babysitter. The babysitter doesn't get to make the rules. You just follow them. That's how it works. Let's do some new rules, shall we? Speaking of rules.
Yeah.
Yay.
Well, I have one new rule, but I'm going to amend this. We're out of time anyway. And make
sure
it to very quickly. I just want to say all of the people that I've visited during my medical trips, the nurse at Dr. Javier's, and the people at the hospital who did my stuff were all so nice and kind to me and helped me get where I need to be. And just, you know, when people go to medical facilities and they say, they don't care about us.
Right.
That was not my experience
well,
that
good.
Whole morning.
I'm glad to hear it. That's good.
There are caring people out there.
They are. They're out there.
But my original rule, and I put this out on Facebook, but it bears mentioning again, is to my friend and 1978 grad, Charlie Welch.
Oh, yeah, Charlie.
Yeah, who I drive by his house. Well, it's not his house. It's his parents' house. Oh, okay. But I drive by it on my drive around almost every day just to see if his car is there, because he's there and he's not. And one day this week, I drove by, and not only was his car there, he was out in the yard. And so I rolled down the window and said, "Hey, Charlie." Well, he dashed over to the car, and we talked for 45 minutes. Yeah. And, you know, me and Charlie were thick as thieves senior year, and then at Bluefield State College, now mm-hmm. university. And he became a flight attendant, which he still is, has been for 40 years. This is a guy who grew up in B-Field, but he has flown all over the world. He has been everywhere and done everything. And he still has that small town guy mentality.
Sure. That's good.
And he makes me laugh more than I can ever say. And just talking to him, we decided it's not going to be the next time we meet. We're going to make time to get an appointment together and get together and just laugh our asses off.
Yay. That's awesome. Well, Charlie rules.
Charlie rules.
Woo-hoo. My you rule this week is for Mish. I just want to give you a rule for Mish, because she's a crazer. Yeah, her birthday's this week. That's not why I'm giving her a you rule. I just remembered it. No, I'm just giving her a you rule because she rules. She's got She's got so much happening right now, man. Her play, she's directing Pippin at the Bellingham Theatre Guild. It opens in a few weeks. That's right, man. It opens in a few weeks, so, you know, it's crunch time right now, but she's having fun with it. She and I took a couple of little birding trips this week, which was kind of fun. I got to see a couple of new birds that I haven't seen before.
Well, something about that after we record.
Ooh, okay. All right. Well, that'll be pretty soon, because that's all there is to it. I just wanted to tell Mish that she rules. You rule, Mish. And that's the end of our show, you guys. I'm sorry it's a little bit long. I'm going to end up cutting
pretty long.
Quite a bit. It's a bit long, but I'm going to end up cutting some
stuff. And I kind of made a faux pas, and I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right. Don't worry. I could almost break it up, but I've decided I'm
not going to. I was so heady with my story, I couldn't help it.
I have to tell you, though, that you were getting towards the end of it, and I kept thinking, my goodness, what is part two going to be? She's done all the tests. And
I got out of the hospital, took my car out, and I thought
I thought part two was going to be about the test results, but then you said that you didn't have your test results yet. I'm like, oh, Christ, what the hell is part two going to be? Plus, this is part one's really long. How long is part two going to be? So it ended up not being the case. Anyway, no worries. We'll be back next week. With more show. Until that time,
so we will be back next week.
Yeah,
I knew you had a week off.
Yeah, it's in July. I'm here all of June.
Well, you know what? Next week is the Belmont Stakes.
That's right. Belmont Stakes is next week. I do know that.
We'll have to work on that.
So next week we'll choose our horses for the Belmont Stakes and watch that, and that'll be exciting.
Yeah.
All right, but until that time, everybody. We hope you've enjoyed this week's Hucklebug, but until next week, I am Stenny.
And I'm Bet.
We're Bet and Stenny, and you've been listening to the Hucklebug. Bye, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye, we love you. Mwah, 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 mwah. Mwah.
That's the way you do it when you do the Hucklebug.
Jesus, that's bad. God almighty.